Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the He Gone Podcast. I know I've been gone for a long time. I've not done an episode of this since May. I apologize for abandoning everybody, but right now I have more jobs than, you know, more people than I can announce right now. So I've been pretty busy, but I've assembled a power of White Sox fans and media powerhouses here to talk about our White Sox going into this playoff season. As you can hear, the homie Pierce is not here because I do not want any negative Cub energy when you hear this, Pierce. I know you will. We want to keep this a safe space. So first, I want to introduce, of course, you know, the homie Dante, October Zone T on Twitter. He is my co-host on Ball Don't Lie. You can check him out. Dante, how's it going, man?
Good, bro. Excited for the playoffs, man. How you doing?
I am doing pretty good. I just watched the Sopranos movie. I will not give any spoilers. We will talk about that on Cinema with the guys, but I will say, I feel like I went to Panera Bread. You know, if Panera, the food is good, but you're still kind of fucking hungry. That's all I'm gonna say about getting the podcast. But we also got the homie Sam Sherman, one half of the Northside Sox podcast. Sam, how's it going, bro?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Happy to be here.
Good, good. And we got his co-host, the homie Janice. Janice, what is going on?
Nothing much, Scott. Just getting ready to go watch some White Sox baseball tonight. Okay. And tomorrow night too. And yeah, just sweeping these Tigers, hopefully.
I am jealous of anybody who can still go to Sox games. I am subjected to watching the Monstars, aka the Dodgers, out here. That's one thing I miss about being home, not be able to go to the games like I want to. We've also got the homie, Southside Zoe, one of my favorite White Sox Twitter personalities, man. How is it going, bro?
It's going really good, man. Took a me day today. Just got back from the golf course. That's why I'm this lovely shade of red. And, you know, I'm over the moon excited. We're in a place that's unknown to Sox fans, probably under the age of 40, yeah, to have this much excitement going into a postseason. So I'm riding the high right now.
Yeah, I think that's the best. That's actually a good segue into our first topic, man. I want to talk about the season in general. Of course, right now, the White Sox are sitting on 91 wins. They are one game off of my 92-win prediction coming into the season. Just want to talk about, like, just – I feel like with White Sox Twitter, I feel like we've been on, like, a roller coaster this year. Like, it went from starting with the depth conversation. Does this team have enough depth to survive an injury? And then we seeing the depth actually playing better than we expected, you know, the highs. And then the second half, I kind of feel like anybody who's an avid NBA watcher, we watched load management. We watched that shit for the second half of the season. It was very infuriating up until the last week of winning the division title and actually kind of heating up. I feel like they've been playing like they actually give a fuck, which is what I feel like a lot of us have all been asking, man. Dante, I'm going to give it to you first. What's your overall thoughts on the season and how it's ending and just everything we've experienced? Has it been everything you expected coming into this year or not?
I mean, it has. I mean, it's just been fun to be relevant again. I think, you know, we all have been here and we all sat through the lowest of lows. And a guy, he posted one of the lineups from 3 years ago, and I couldn't even name half of the people on there. Like, it's been fun to be back in there. You know, even with the injuries, it's been great to see the team fight. And you spoke on the depth. And I think we've put so much of an emphasis on our stars that we forgot about a lot of these guys, like a Gavin Sheets and players that have come up and still have been able to contribute and help us keep our lead, maintain our lead. And so, I mean, my overall thoughts for the season, I've been excited. You know, Tony La Russa, I'm not going to say I owe him an apology, but he did better than I expected.
Yeah, we're still going to get into our La Russa.
Yeah, there were still some rough moments, but I think overall he's done a good job. And I'm interested to see how they do things for the postseason because I know we'll get into our division series breakdown later, but there's some things about that I think are really interesting. So, I've just been excited. And it's exceeded my expectations.
Okay. Janice, what's your thoughts on this year?
Right. So as someone who covered the team last season, where the White Sox were playing with house money, essentially. So I had pretty low expectations for the playoffs, but it was still incredibly infuriating baseball to watch, especially that wild card series where the final two games, it just seemed as if it was like watching a balloon deflate. But yeah, like Dante said, they're playing like they give a fuck now. So I love that. The White Sox have been in first place since May 7th. So I think that's also something else that we tend to forget a lot is that This team has been good for a very long time. And even though there are some incredibly infuriating things, so sometimes the lineup forgets to hit fastballs. There was a long period of time where Yoan Moncada could not hit a fastball to save his life, just mainly because he wasn't swinging at fastballs. Yes, other things that were incredibly infuriating, bullpen management, but I feel as if that's evergreen. But overall, I love this team. They're a season high 23 games over 500, and this is only the 20th 90 win season in franchise history. Oh, wow. So I feel as if, you know, just I've been a Sox fan for like the entire duration of my old lady life. So this has been such a fun team to watch. And even the infuriating shit isn't all that infuriating in the grand scope of things. But yeah, there are so many dudes I love on this team. Liam Hendricks, interestingly enough, he's the first pitcher in White Sox history with 30 plus saves and 100 plus strikeouts in a season.
Wow.
So that's how good he has been for us. So I'm going to say us because this is our shit, man.
We exactly. Like, thank you.
I know like us is a dirty word in like especially when, you know, in sports media, but you know, fuck that shit, man. This is us. This is our thing. So
exactly. We've watched so much terrible baseball over the last 13 years. And even though 08 was good, I'm not the biggest 08 White Sox fan. That team made me want to jump off a building. They were so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
It was just like the blackout game was so great because I feel like we all knew we were going to get our ass kicked in the ALDS. I don't think any. I was surprised they won a game. And so It's to the point where it's such a big thing. And White Sox lure, I think we forget that wasn't a playoff game. And it was not a playoff game at all. But, Zoe, man, what's your thoughts on this season?
It's awesome, man. I've had a smile on my face this whole year. There's been a lot of different factors that go into that. I think Janice touched on a lot of it. It's just such a fun team. There's so many guys on this team that you can root for and you feel good rooting for. And the personalities are such that, like, you almost feel like you're rooting for your friends. Like, you see Lucas Giolito doing shit with these kids and you're like, that's my guy, Lucas. Fuck yeah, dude. And like, Gavin Sheets hits a bomb. You can ask my wife. I wake up the kid. I go nuts because it's like, that's that guy that made the opportunity for himself. You know, he saw, like, there's no way I'm seeing the big leagues as a first baseman. I'm going to go learn how to play right field. And it was like, all right, I can appreciate that. And I'm not even going to lie, though. The whole legalized gambling in Illinois has made this season even better. It's because you're able to bet on your team and make a little coin on the side doing that. And it's been a lot of fun. And a big part of this fun is the social media aspect of it. The whole White Sox Twitter community. You can go to a game by yourself. I mean, Scott, even though you don't live in Chicago, you could probably fly and go to a game and just be like, hey, yeah, say your Twitter handle and everyone you get welcomed with open arms. I've seen it in person. I know Janice, you're at a lot of the games. It's an amazing thing to see, like complete strangers, never seen them, couldn't pick each other out of a police lineup, but you say, oh yeah, hey, I'm Southside Zoe. And people are like, oh, what's up, dude? You want a beer? Like, what's going on? Let's sit down. And next thing you know, you're talking about like Gavin Sheets war versus, and you're just like, I don't even know how this happened, but it's awesome. And a big part of that is the community, and it's made it so much more fun. And then, you know, winning makes everything fun. Winning and the Twins being shit makes everything a lot more fun.
Absolutely.
It's been a great season, man. I'm aces on this season. I love it.
It's like Herm said, you play to win the game. That's what makes it the number one thing. Sam, what's your thoughts on this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about how, like, when the Sox were just complete shit for so many seasons, all I ever wanted was them to just, I didn't care about World Series. I didn't care about like deep postseason runs. I really just wanted them to make the playoffs. Like, I was like, I just want to be able to watch baseball into October. And cause I was jealous of all these fan bases, I got to do that. And it's funny because I feel like last season was like the last season that my expectations were like, you know what, playoffs were fine. This was cool. Now I used to look at like Yankee fans or whatever. I'd be like, how could you ever complain about anything? You get to make the playoffs every year and whatever. But no, now I get it. It's like, it's totally different. Like, Scott, you and I have talked about this on Twitter before, but it's like my expectations, I'm actually not okay with like first round exit or even like second round. Like, I want this. This is a really damn good team, great team. And I have really high expectations and for what they could do. But it's just funny because I no longer have that like, let's just make the playoffs. It's just fun to watch October baseball. It's like, no, let's win a fucking World Series. And then I was thinking about when Janice brought up Liam Hendricks, just the fact that this season has gone, even though it's been like that roller coaster, like you were saying, it has been such a overall good season that that Kimbrel trade that they made, and then Kimbrel being like fine to like kind of not great, hasn't even really mattered. It's like, that's the thing that's so weird about this team, is it's like, even with all of the, you know, we'll talk, I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of this stuff throughout, but even with all the weirdness to it, they really seemed just kind of like almost able to work through all that and ultimately be, you know, just so dominant in a really bad division, but still, unfortunately playing a little bit better baseball here towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'll say with me for my overall season thoughts, and this will lead into the next topic. I just meant, as a diehard White Sox fan, like 2005 was the greatest. Like they won the World Series on my 17th birthday. So it's like, there's no gift that's gonna top that, unless I get gifted like a fucking Lamborghini on my birthday or some shit. Nothing is gonna top that day. Like, the only regret I have about that, I was in high school when I had a fucking midterm and I couldn't go to the parade. Everybody in school cut. So if I'd have cut, and my mom was a teacher, so if I'd have cut, she'd have known like where the fuck I was going. So I have no choice. Like, I'm gonna be in Chicago at the end of the month covering the Bears-Niners game. So I'm hoping the White Sox in the World Series, because I'm staying for the parade. So that's what I'm hoping for. But this actual season, I think it's been a blast. You know, I came into the season with a lot of high expectations. When Eloy got injured, like my original prediction was 100 wins. When Eloy got hurt, I was like, okay, I'm going to bring this down to about 92. And just watching them over the second half of the season, so many games we've blown and how hurt we've been, there's no doubt in my mind, if we were healthy, we'd be up there with the Giants and the Dodgers as far as the best records in the league. But it was just a fun season. I feel like I've never seen a team like respond to adversity like this team. Like, I mean, I was arguing a depth thing at the beginning of the year, but even I didn't see Billy Hamilton playing some of the best ball he's ever played in his life. Goodwin, you know, playing really well. I mean, he had a couple walk-offs. And it's just teams like, every time somebody went down, somebody would step up. Yasmani got a full-ass, you know, knee surgery during the season. I think we forget that he got whole-ass surgery. And here comes Sebi coming in making contributions. And it was just one thing after another. So I'm going to the favorite moments. If I had to name my favorite moment of the season, it was so many. I love the BG walk-off on the Indians. Or the Guardians. You know, that was a good walk-off. But to me, when we finally knocked the Twins in the mouth, I know it was an early series, but the Twins been kicking our ass for years. And just going out there, taking care of business consistently, that Gavin Sheets walk-off, it was kind of like we put them in the rearview mirror. Like, this is our division now, and we're just going to take advantage of it, man. And I know a lot of people say the White Sox play in a weak division. I'll prefer to be in this than what the hell the Dodgers and the Giants are going through right now. I know the Dodgers are mad as hell. They're the defending champions, won their 103rd game last night, and they got to play a winner-take-all game against the hottest team in baseball. Y'all can keep that. That shit is not cool to me whatsoever. So I'm fine with the weak-ass division, man. We're going to go around. Dante, what was your favorite moment of the season?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like you. It was so many moments. So, like, I don't have a particular moment that was my favorite. But the overall growth of Lewis Robert has been fun to watch all season. Because, I mean, early in the season, he came in with that same mentality as last year, where I'm going to just swing at everything. And, like, when I connect, it's going to go. But he struck out a lot. But when he got hurt and then he came back, you saw the adjustments he made at the plate, and he's been on an absolute tear. He's been a monster. And I think, similar to Juan Soto when Washington went to the playoffs, I think this playoffs, you're really going to see him introduced to a national stage, and people see, wow, we've been so high on him since we got him at 19. So, for me, it's really been his growth all season.
Yeah, Janice, what you got?
As much as I thought this was perhaps one of the most frivolous games before it happened, I'm going to go with the Field of Dreams Tim Anderson walk-off. Not only were the White Sox, like, say, on the national stage, it was against the Yankees. Just the entire – the way that entire game just played out was, like, if it was a Hollywood movie, you couldn't have written it better. Yeah, just the pure energy and just the joy I felt just from watching it. I was at Nisei Lounge watching the game.
Shout out to Nisei.
Yeah, shout out to Nisei. It was definitely perhaps one of the most uplifting memories this year, I believe.
Definitely. I was one of them too. I didn't give a shit about that. I watched the movie the night before and I was like, this is what the hype is.
Terrible.
This shit ain't even better than Mr. 3000. But so what's your favorite?
Well, Janice, I had the Field of Dreams game written down. but it just to add to the point, because you said everything over it, but that GIF or video or whatever format you want to watch it in of Tim Anderson crow hopping with the fireworks in the background and his team waiting for him at home plate. That's the imagery that, I mean, that's baseball. That's why baseball is so fucking rad. It's like, it's amazing when you see that. Like, I'm actually getting worked up just thinking about it because that's the beauty of the game right there. But I did write down some extra ones because I had a feeling that Field of Dreams was going to get taken. And kind of to Dante's point, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, it's not a specific moment, but it's the story of Gavin Sheets. Again, this is a kid who he's been in the system with a lot of these White Sox guys, it feels like 52 years.
Yeah.
And he saw the writing on the wall. He saw what Andrew Vaughn's doing, which by itself is a fantastic story, Andrew Vaughn. But he's like, okay, well, they got Jose Abreu, then Andrew Vaughn, and then Yasmani Grandal played first too. So if I want to play in the major leagues, I gotta learn how to play right field. And he's not, you know, Vladimir Guerrero out there, but he's a serviceable right fielder who is that left-handed power bat that the White Sox have been craving for years and years and years. And for him to come up, and I mean, he's not putting up all world numbers or anything like that, but he always seems like he gets that hit when it matters the most. And he's done it so much where he's earned his role in this playoff roster. And, you know, to see a guy not only make his own opportunity, but then take advantage of that opportunity when it was presented. I mean, that's something that I love that shit. And so I would say just the evolution of Gavin Sheets would be my favorite moment this season.
Definitely. Sam, what you got?
Well, I'm the next in line to say that the Field of Dreams game was definitely up there, but thanks, Janice. I've got two quick ones. Scott, going back to like what you said with the Twins, that whole Josh Donaldson shit that was happening the fact that the Sox just still beat their brains in. I don't know what their final record was against the Twins this year, but it wasn't just against the Twins. It was basically just doing that against the entire AL Central. And the fact that, you know, we all know how much every team in the division has had their chance to just torment the White Sox for decades, or at least over the last 10 years.
It's definitely
about
been
it.
A lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's had their shot. I mean, everybody. And so it's kind of cool that this season, it was just like that absolute turning point. And the other kind of moment, is the trade deadline, just because even though not every, you know, acquisition or not every trade had worked out, you know, Hernandez has cooled off considerably, obviously. Kimbrel, we've sort of I talked about a little bit. You know, Tempera's been the best the best acquisition. I'm happy he's back, I think, today. But the trade deadline was one of my favorite moments of the season, because that was something that was so different than what the White Sox have done. Again, they haven't been in this situation that frequently where they could be like definitive buyers like that and be that strong of contenders. But the front office ultimately went out and they made some big moves. And so regardless of how this worked out, I'm happy that they made them. And I'm happy that they were kind of took that step that the, you know, real teams, real contenders kind of do.
Well, that's a good point, too. I want to actually just bring up, too. I didn't have it on my rundown, but that's a good point. We've been begging for the White Sox to make a splash move. Really, I feel like we've been begging for both Reinsdorf teams to make a splash move. About a dollar every time I wanted the Bulls to do some shit. And they both did it this year. Like, the Bulls and the White Sox both did it around the same time. And so, got Tapera, got Craig Kimbrel, which I feel like was the thing that we were all waiting for. It was like, okay, Cesar Hernandez is a decent second baseman. He's not what we want. I know we all wanted Escobar. I wanted Escobar, and especially seeing what he's doing since he's been in Milwaukee. I feel like that would have been a great power bat to have. But we got him, and then once we got Craig Kimbrel, it was like, okay, now it's on. It's official. They did their parts on that. And so what did you guys feel when it happened? What do you guys feel now heading to the postseason about those acquisitions? And anybody can, you know, we'll just give up the grass. Anybody can respond first.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like Sam said, for me, that was really just the the sign I needed, I should say, that, you know, okay, we're really serious about this. Like, as you know, for years we've gone back and forth, even with the free agent acquisitions this offseason. Like last year, you know, we wanted everybody, which turned out to be a great decision to not give Machado the contract he wanted. But we've always wanted this front office to spend money. And so not only spend money, but make moves and add dynamic talent to this team, not just go get guys who were good 6 or 7 years ago, and now we added another name. And so when we saw, like I said, when we saw Kimbrel, we saw Tapera, you saw them adding to our strengths, as well as, you know, with Cesar Hernandez, getting somebody that can be a stopgap second baseman until we find another answer there. I think I was excited. I was like, okay, this is what we need going towards October and really making a deep run and not just it being another first round exit.
Definitely. Anybody else want to
jump? I know, you know, Janice and I talked about this on the podcast way back, but just this idea that it was like, it kind of going to these big moves of just more talented players on your team is better than not, right? It sounds obvious, but it's one of those things that I think a lot of times, whether it's trading away prospects or it's trading away a Nick Madrigal, for example, you know, teams are sort of can be afraid to do, or the White Sox have maybe been afraid to do or avoided in the past. But even that trading a Madrigal kind of example where, okay, this is the season that they're trying to win the World Series. It's not next season. It's not the season after that. This is that window. We're already in it. Nick Madrigal had a season-ending injury. You could get, you know, top closer in baseball, Hall of Fame, you know, closer, all that kind of stuff. They got that done, and I really respected the move. Again, the outcome, I haven't given up on Kimbrel. I don't think that, you know, I don't think he's got no value on a postseason roster by any means. But again, I just can't say enough about how much I respected the move for the front office.
I think my favorite trade, just going back to last offseason, the Lance Lynn trade was definitely the designation that the White Sox were definitely in a win right now type situation. The White Sox needed someone who could eat innings. And even though I loved Dane Dunning, I thought he was great. His curveball looked fantastic last year. And the small handful of starts he had in that shortened season, I thought he looked incredible. But there was definitely doubt on how long he could pitch. Again, Lynn is an eating inner. And also too, he's done great this year. I've loved what I've seen out of Lance Lynn. I know Dane Dunning's season with the Rangers has been kind of eh. But not only that, but the Lance Lynn extension was also just proof that we're definitely in it for the long run with him. And yeah, if we win a World Series this year, let's win a World Series next year, the year after that, like, screw it. Let's win them all.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look in even recent history, the teams that make these deep postseason runs, it's because they have the pitching. They have the horses. I always like to use that. They have the horses. So the White Sox right now have arguably a top three, top five starting pitching staff. But then when you add a Kimbrel, you add a Tapera to the bullpen, you see Aaron Bummer start clicking at the right time. You know, Liam Hendricks, as Janice mentioned, the 100 strikeouts to the 30 save ratio, and just this is what gets you to the World Series. Every team has guys that can hit tanks. Every team in baseball does. There's parity like we've never seen before in all major sports right now. All you have to do is get to the dance. Seeding really doesn't mean shit to me anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're never in every sport, basketball, hockey, baseball, 8 seeds are beating 1 seeds like we've never at a tick we've never seen before. Yep. None of that shit really matters. Parity's all over the place because these athletes are all freaks. You know, they're all built in a lab. As soon as I find a lab Luis Robert was built in, you'll never see me again because I'm just going to start pumping robots out. But the White Sox have the horses. And it that's one of the biggest reasons why I'm excited going into this postseason, because I know if Carlos Rodon is not hitting mid-90s on that fastball, it's cool. Here comes Michael Kopech to say fuck you with 100 miles an hour. Or here comes, you know, Garrett Crochet. And I can list all the names, but
shit, here comes Ronaldo Lopez. We saw that happening.
Yes, here comes Captain Lasik. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the staff that they've put together. And again, everybody likes to use window. This is the windows opening, proverbial window. There's windows all over the goddamn place. But for the White Sox to not only sign Lance Lynn, but extend Lance Lynn, to have all these guys on these long-ass team-friendly contracts, which you can say what you want about Rick Hahn, but having Luis Robert on that contract, that feels like he might as well wear a ski mask because he fucking robbed him. But that just shows me that this proverbial window that everybody likes to talk about is just now opening. Like, we're not even like peak middle of this. And we saw it on the north side. What happens when you fuck up contracts?
Yeah.
And the way that the young talent of the White Sox is signed right now, if you can't get excited about this team in the future, then I don't know what you're doing here.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point with the window, because the thing about windows, to me, in my mind, this is the first year of the window. I know last year was 60 games. Like, and it's not a doubt in my mind, especially after watching this season. That was, 101 more games that we would have had. Not a doubt in my mind that team would have missed it. There's not a doubt in my mind. The way they ended that season, it was really just a two-man rotation at the time. There's no doubt. So, to me, this is the first year. And with sports, anybody can get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, even you see with the Cubs window, which I kind of feel like, you know, we got to look at too, because as much as I can't stand the Cubs, I do believe if the Cubs didn't win that World Series, I don't believe that the White Sox would agree to go full in on a rebuild. I think that kind of got Reinsdorf, I think he even said himself, he was embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have the other team in the city doing all this, and you just here just playing mediocre ball. So I feel like there's a lot of things to be excited about this team. And, you know, going into this postseason, I don't want to say we're playing with house money, because we're not. I feel like we have a legit, you know, like you said, Sam, about expectations. To me, it's World Series or bust. If we don't win the World Series, I'm going to be pretty fucking upset. I'm not going to sit here and act like, well, we made the ALCS. No, fuck that. You know, Ozzy had one of my favorite quotes in 05. Yeah, let's win. We in here. Let's fucking win it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm in on that. Now, we name all these different players. Let's talk about our MVP for this season. Like, you know, there's a lot of great players who played this year. For me, I'm going to actually go with the reigning league MVP. I'm going to go with Jose Abreu, and I'm going to take a little victory lap here. You know, I remember 2 years ago when Pito was a free agent. There's a lot of Sox fans. Don't re-sign him. Look at the numbers. His numbers are going to go down. We can say whatever we can about advanced stats. 30-100 every year, damn near for his whole career. You can't replace that. You know what I'm saying? And over the last 2 years, he's gotten so good defensively. Like, he's bailed out so many bad throws from Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson that it's not even funny. He's almost torn his ACL trying to catch some of those balls. So I got to give it to Pito. Like, I think he's damn near played every fucking game. I probably remember him sitting maybe 3 games. Even games we didn't play first base, he was a DH. So I got to give it to Pito. He's one home run away from having 30 and 100 for, like, I think he's only missed it like once or twice in his career, and the other time was a shortened season. And to me, that's phenomenal. So I got to give it to Pito. He's been hit more than any player in the major leagues, which is, hey, man, that's Pito's a better man than me, because I'd have took somebody's head off by now. Like, stop fucking hitting me, dog. Like, stop. So, you know, that's who I would roll with my MVP. You know, who you guys got?
I'm gonna go with Lance Lynn. Okay. I think, you know, with the inconsistency of Giolito starting out and Dylan Cease as well, you know, Dylan has been really good against sub-500 teams, and he's been sketchy against good teams, but he's come on as of late. But I think Lance Lynn has really set the tone for that pitching staff all season. And before we got on, I looked up the stats, because, you know, like you said, a lot of times, you know, they've been struggling as of late, so, you know, we tend to panic about things, but the staff still ranks, you know, second in shutouts, first in hits, first in runs, first in ERA, second in home runs allowed, first in strikeouts, third in whip, you know, so they've still been able to do great things. And I think a lot of that has been the attitude that Lance Lynn has really had all season. And so he's rubbed off on his teammates. You know, we talk about Liam Hendricks a lot, and I think Liam has been, you know, like I said, lights out. But Lance Lynn, for me, has really been the MVP, because he set the tone for that pitching staff.
Any of you probably could have guessed who my MVP is.
I know.
I got an idea.
I know.
It's Yasmani Grandal. I know. All of you are absolutely shocked. So for any of you who are familiar with the two Yasmani Grandal outcomes, he either walks. He's actually got more walks than strikeouts right now. So since returning from the injured list, he's got 25 walks and 16 strikeouts. The other Yasmani Grandal outcome is that he hits bombs. He's got 9 home runs. He's coming from the injured list. Well, now there is a third Yasmani Grandal outcome has dropped. that he actually hits for average now too. So he's got a 333 BABIP ever since returning from the injured list, batting 348 in general. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of folks said it like, hey, you know, a month of rest is actually going to help, but that's not exactly true. Yasmani Grandal has actually been historically a good hitter in September. So going back quickly to my research, he has a drumroll 802 career OPS in the month of September. So, if y'all are into those advanced stats, weighted runs created plus of 160. That's currently, or at least when I wrote this article about like 2 weeks ago, it was the highest of anyone on the White Sox through 320 plate appearances. That might be different at this point. But anyway, my whole point is that Yasmani Grandal has been so very good. I mean, probably one of my favorite free agent signings in the recent history of off seasons. But anyway, I can't talk enough about Yasmani. He hits fastballs. He hits breaking pitches. I don't understand how anyone pitches to him. I mean, I hope people pitch to him, and I hope he just continues to just do what he does. But yeah, he's been so very good.
And I know this will rile up Royals fans and people who don't watch the White Sox. But Yasmani Grandal is the best catcher in the fucking AL Central. I don't give a shit what Salvador Perez is doing. They need to test him. I've seen him play forever. I feel like John Wall, when he told Bradley Beal, I ain't never ever seen you act like this before. I'm going with Yas. Who you, Sam and Zoe, who y'all got?
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, a quick note on Grandal. The way that you know that he's had a great season for all kinds of baseball fans is that even when his batting average was like 160, but his on base was like near 400, you know, the analytical, the people, you know, the more modern fans or younger fans, like they kind of knew what was up. They knew that was good, right? But I had to hear it from my dad, like every time we'd watch a game or we talk about the Sox, about his batting average. And as much as I tell him, no, it's not about batting average, it didn't matter. But he's had such a good season that now my dad's like, you know what? It's actually a pretty good batting average now. So he's actually flipped it the whole way around. But my MVP for this season has got to be TA. Because for me, again, thinking about it a little bit more, just anecdotally watching the games, you know, night in, night out. That's the guy to me that, you know, everyone's heard all the different things about him being, I mean, the heart and soul of the team, all of that. But ultimately, the White Sox just seem to play better when Tim Anderson is in the lineup. I'm sure that there's the numbers that could back that up. I don't have any of those in front of me. Janice would have to run those for me in the lab. But but it's all to say that, like, when, you know, I know he had been kind of resting here a little bit in the resting his legs up here in the second half of the season, but anytime he was out for any amount of time, it just seemed like the lineup had a tough time operating without him. And I kind of look at that as an indication of the value of a player. Even if you go 0-for-4 or something like that, everyone around you is playing better. And I was thinking about something recently just about TA, and that it's funny to me that, like, the bat flip from, I don't know, what was that, 3 seasons ago, yeah, 2 seasons ago? Yeah. Yeah, in 2019, like, everyone, you know, after that, it was like, oh yeah, the bat flip. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like that was like the last time he flipped his bat on a home run. And it was like, I sort of think it's funny that, like, you know, that for a lot of reasons, you know, there's a lot of like the old, you know, baseball fans or the traditionalists that are like, oh, play the game this way, whatever. But the funny thing about him is that he doesn't flip his bat a whole lot. He doesn't really play like in the ways that the old fans, the traditionalists, kind of don't like, but I kind of wish he would, but at the same time, I don't know. I just think about that the other day.
I think somebody asked him that too, and he was like, everybody else doing it now. And that's what I kind of like about TA. Like, yeah, I've been there and I've done that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You got Tatis doing it. You got Manny Machado. Everybody, you know, the San Diego Padres, who are the offseason champions. And you should hear, I talked about that, I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Check that out right now. HB Media, very cheap plug. I had talked about that. But Zoe, who you got is your MVP?
So I knew Janice was gonna go Grandal, and I figured TA and some of these other big names, Jose Abreu, would be taken. So kind of went a little bit outside the box, and you're gonna have to hear me out for this one.
Okay.
So obviously he's not the MVP by any statistical measure whatsoever, but when you talk about MVP, the word in there is most valuable. And so I'm going to go with Andrew Vaughn. And the reason why I'm saying Andrew Vaughn is because Eloy Jimenez put a huge hole in this lineup when he did that dumbass shit and reached his arm over the wall for a home run that was hit 10 rows up. Fucking moron. Still mad about that. But so they were sitting there like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then this kid who's never played the outfield in his collegiate career or the minor leagues, or I don't even think he played it in Little League, who was brought up and people laughed when the White Sox were like, oh, maybe we'll try him at third. Like, no, this kid is not that athletic. He's a first baseman or a DH. Surprise, you're going to start in left field in the major leagues. And not only has he been serviceable, he's been an above average fielder out there. I don't know statistically wise, but I'm going off of the good old Zoe eye test and, you know, making diving plays. I think there's been two plays this entire season where I've gone, God damn it, Vaughn. So that's pretty good on the Zoe scale. And, you know, the hitting's, it's come in spurts. You know, he's learning. Kid never even played AAA, but he's held his own. What he finished the season at? 235 he's at right now. 310 OBP with the 397 slugging. And again, it's been spurts, but he's given you 15 home runs. But the biggest thing, the valuable thing he did to this team was he filled a huge need. I don't know if the White Sox are in this crazy position that they're in right now, if he turns out to be cheeks in left field. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If he sucks in left field, what are they going to do? They're struggling hard enough to have a right fielder. Like, for him to solidify that position for them and been the placeholder until Eloy got back was just unexpected and huge. And so I'm really going to harp on the valuable part in this MVP conversation, and I'll go with Andrew Vaughn.
I'm not mad at that at all. And the thing about Andrew Vaughn too, which is so impressive, is he really hasn't played in minor league. Like, he played like a couple, but you know, he played none last year due to COVID. They didn't have any minor league games, you know, and he just got thrown into this situation. I remember when the injury happened, both me and Dante were like, what the fuck? Like I love Eloy, but it's just like, dude, it's March. Who cares if a home run happens, bro? Just let it go. So when it came to that, I got mad that, you know, we were relying so much on a rookie. Not only just a rookie who's never played in major, but now you're having him play a position that he hasn't played. And he went out there. He was a very good left fielder. He's actually been pretty good in right field. He even did second base decent for like a game. So I do think he's been everything we've wanted. Now, he hasn't ended the season on such a great note, but he's a rookie. He's a rookie, and he's a valuable guy to have, man. So I definitely like the Andrew Vaughn answer. Let's get into Tony La Russa, which was probably a top two storyline coming into this season. I think all of us. I don't know about you, Zoe, but I know Janice, Sam, and Dante for sure. We didn't like the signing. I remember sitting here on my couch October last year, like, oh hell no! Like I know this didn't happen. I was really hoping that Bob Nightingale was wrong once again, but he wasn't. I will say this about Tony, and it was not that I didn't feel like Tony could manage. I feel like Tony is the best modern day manager we've seen in baseball ever. To me, he was old. He hasn't managed in over a decade. The game has changed so much from where it was in 2011. Shit, the game has changed a lot since even the Royals won the World Series, like just over these last couple 6 years. And to me, I didn't know how he was going to relate to the team. I felt like this would be like if Phil Jackson came out of retirement and said, hey, I'm finna go coach the fucking Jazz or the Bucks or some shit. Like, yeah, the Jazz and the Bucks have this talent, but is the Zen Master triangle shit going to really affect these kids who've been on TV since they was in fucking high school? So that was my biggest issue. But to me, outside, I think the only real problem I've had with Tony this year will probably have to be the Yerm situation. I still don't really like how he handed that one. And Yerminator, that shit feels like it was 5 years ago. That's just how damn long this season was. Like, I was looking at the AL Central, you know, recap video they put on the MLB YouTube, and I was like, damn, I forgot about Yerm. Like, it's been that damn long. So that's really the only complaint I had. But as the more you hear, I feel like he's done a pretty damn good job for what he's been able to do. Now, I do think it didn't take much to manage a team with this much damn talent. But considering the injuries, considering he hasn't managed in a year, considering there really wasn't any locker room drama, and you've heard a lot of these the leaders of the team, Pito, TA, say how much that they fuck with Tony. I'll give Tony a B. I'll give him a B. Now, I'm not. I saw a lot of White Sox, not a lot, but some La Russa truthers saying, y'all owe him apology. First of all, I don't owe him shit, okay? I don't owe La Russa a damn thing. Even if he win the World Series, congratulations, you did your job. I don't owe you a damn thing. I feel like every concern we had was legitimate. So I'm going to give La Russa a B, but I'm really interested to see how he's going to be in the playoffs, what decisions are sped up. You know what I'm saying? So that's really what I want to see.
Yeah, I agree. I would go B plus. Like you said, the Yerm situation, you know, he showed his old ways with that one, even with Lance Lynn, where he said, well, Lance has a locker, I have an office.
Oh, I forgot about
that. You know, so, you know, shit like that. But other than that, I think, because, you know, he was also right to, you know, demote Lance. Demote Yerm in the best interest of the team, because, you know, he just really can't do anything outside of hit, and that had fallen off. So I think overall I would give Tony a B plus. You know, he's really come in. You know, he hasn't made any waves with any decisions he's made. You know, I think a couple of the bullpen decisions that's going to happen within 162 of a regular season. I think a lot of fans were spoiled last year with the 60-game season, with a lot of decisions that were made. And so the couple of the decisions that I didn't like with the bullpen and the certain players he used, that's going to happen during the regular season. But I'm like you. I'm ready to see how he does in the postseason, being back in the postseason, because he does have that experience. And he does a multiple World Series winner. So I go B plus.
One of the big things that we would talk about on Northside Sox are the optics. Like, say, like, how does this look? Like, with all context aside, just from an external perspective, how does this look? So, I mean, I think it was very valid to criticize the hiring. For once, it just reeked of nepotism. And let's not, you know, forget the DUIs, not a great look. So no, I don't owe him an apology. I feel as if it was just completely valid to question the hiring, to question Tony La Russa. Like Scott mentioned, he hasn't managed for over a decade. I had less of a problem with the fact that he's old, but like also what Scott mentioned, this team is packed with talent. My mom is the same age as Tony La Russa, and she could probably manage this team. I mean, I would probably doubt her bullpen management, but for the most part, I feel as if she could probably crank out a pretty good lineup. But I do see that, I mean, like with that, with anything, if Tony La Russa was a fictional character, I do have to say he does have some character development in this storyline. I'm glad the players like him now. I'm glad, like y'all mentioned, Pito has endorsed him. I believe Tim Anderson has come out and said some nice things too. But yeah, if, you know, the players get along with him, then that's great. I think that's fantastic. But I'm going to have to go with a B minus here. And the only reason is because he already, when he was hired, he was already on third base. Like there's definitely no question there. Definitely the privilege helped him get to the position where he is now. But yeah, I mean, I feel as if he's done like some great decisions. I feel as if, his leadership has definitely managed and his leadership has mattered in some cases, but I mean, for the most part, if he wins us a World Series, that's fantastic. But like you, Scott, yeah, I'm still not going to say sorry.
Right.
Yeah. I'm right around a B. And I think again, like a lot, like what Janice said, like I quite frankly, like I still, in retrospect, I don't like the hire. I didn't like it when it happened. It was just complete, you know, nepotism. It was complete, all that stuff, all the things that we don't like to see in modern sports or anything like that. That said, I think that the best thing that he did this season, was basically, you know, doing whatever he's doing on the management side, but I guess it's more just the fact that he stayed out of the way of the players, and what had basically been already built through the Renteria White Sox and through that clubhouse. And I remember really early in the season, Lucas Giolito saying something like that Tony had, in the one of the first times that Tony addressed the team at spring training, he said that, you know, he told the players that he understands that there's already been like a chemistry that's been built within the team, and he's not trying to get in the way of that. Giolito said that Tony had mentioned that he has to earn the respect of the players, not the other way around. I don't know if I said that right, but you guys know what I'm saying. Basically, he didn't think that the players were going to kiss the ring or anything like that. And I think that, you know, there were absolutely some missteps throughout the season, mainly the Yermin situation, and yeah, some of the bullpen stuff, whatever, that's going to happen. But largely our worst fears as far as, you know, some of the stuff that I think could have happened or that I was maybe thinking was going to happen with the chemistry of the clubhouse. It never really happened. I think that they honestly just got stronger and stronger as the season went along. So I'd say, yeah, I'd say B. But no apologies are going to be thrown Tony's way on this podcast.
Yeah, I would agree that questioning the hire when it happened is, I mean, it's completely reasonable. It's there's, you know, you're bringing in, I don't know, how old is he?
Like 71 or some shit, 75.
So you're bringing a 70-something-year-old dude who has been notorious on playing baseball the right way and all this other bullshit to a team full of these young guys who are insanely charismatic, have their own big personalities. So yes, I'm going to question if this is going to work right when it happens. And I mean, we're sitting here as the White Sox are going into the playoffs, AL Central champions. Okay, it worked. Great. You know, I mean, you know, there wasn't too many levers he had to pull. There wasn't too many, you know, like moments where I was like, oh, damn, that was really smart by Tony. It was more like, oh, damn, Tony didn't fuck this up. And that's fine. You know, and that's fine by me. He is a Hall of Fame baseball guy. You know, he'll let you know that. Just pull him over. But he brings those credentials and the respect is there. And I'm sure there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see, but the end result is the end result. And the White Sox won 90 plus games and are going in as division champions. So I'm good with B plus, you know, I'm stingy with that shit. A would be like World Series or top record in baseball, but he did his job. So did millions of other people today, you know, good job.
I'm glad we all have the same sentiment when it comes to this, because, you know, I just was like, I'm not finna praise him for doing his job. It's like, to me, when somebody's like, well, I take care of my kids. So you fucking post it. Like, I hope you do take care of your fucking kids. Like, what you want, cookie? Like, so that's just pretty much how I feel about that one. But now let's get into the playoffs, man. We are recording this on a Thursday, October 1st. So the Tiger series has not happened yet. But we're getting ready for the playoffs. We will be playing the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros, to me, that they've been the bullies on the block. To me, this gives me a little Bulls, 80s Bulls, early 90s Bulls versus Bad Boy Pistons kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we're the more likable team. You know, I have a lot of friends who are friends of other teams outside the league, and they say they enjoy watching the White Sox. And, you know, so I think we have like a likable team, and everybody hates the fucking Astros. Now, me personally, I don't hate the Astros, but then again, I root for the villain in a lot of damn movies. So take my opinion with that. But I personally don't hate the Astros, but they're easily the villain in this. The cheating allegations, them basically running the American League for the last 5 years. They've won the World Series. They've been in the ALCS the last 4 years. Only lost last year in Game 7 to the Rays. And this is, to me, is the perfect challenge for the White Sox. Like a lot of people, like, oh man, you know, it's gonna be tough. I wish we had home field. And I definitely was one of them. I did wish we would have actually went for the home field. But if you look at the three major sports between basketball, football, baseball, I think home field is probably the least in baseball. You know, basketball, you need that. Football, I feel like you need it. But with this, you got to win a fucking road game anyway. And I don't take too much into our away record. I don't take nothing from any of the two series against the Astros. For mainly the first series we had, half of the people who played aren't going to be playing in this series. You know, and even at the series at home, we kicked their ass. We had no Eloy. We had no Luis, no, yes. So that's like, to me, it's a new series. And they didn't have Bregman, which is a huge thing for them also. But I think this is a perfect challenge for the White Sox. If you're going to go out there and, like, we're the new dogs of the American League and we're going to be out here for a while, you got to knock the bully out on the block. So I think this is a perfect situation for us. Even if you look at 05, when we beat Boston. Boston was a reigning champions. They just came off that incredible 03 comeback, and we had to knock them out. And I think it's the same thing here. So there's a lot of, I want to go around and we could talk about what are things you're worried about heading into this season, series, and what are the things that you're optimistic about heading into the season?
All right, just looking at this year, so Houston has a 5-2 record against the White Sox. That first series that they swept in Houston in June, that was painful. And not to mention that, yeah, Twitter was a mess. Astros Twitter went hard on us. And you know what? Like, I sat back and couldn't do anything because, you know, we got our ass beat. So not much you can say about that. But one concern I do have, so the White Sox have a 659 OPS versus the Astros and a 508 OPS at Minute Maid Park. That's not good. Right-handed hitters are even worse at Minute Maid Park. That's a 190 OPS. So hopefully we see some lefty-heavy lineups in this series. But that's the one thing I'm worried about. Another thing is Lance McCullers Jr. just seems to own the White Sox. So he was 2-0 with a 2.08 ERA and 14 strikeouts. I can guarantee you he'll be facing us. But Carlos Rodon does really well against the Astros, so 1-0 with a 0.64 ERA and 2 starts against Houston. So 18 strikeouts over 14 innings. I know Lowe's is still recovering from his injury. Velo is a little down there, but just as long as he's locating his pitches well. I remember in Wednesday's game, he was locating his fastball especially well. So yeah, that's one thing I'm optimistic about. But otherwise, like you, Scott, I mean, yeah, they're the bullies on the block and not much we can do, but you know, knock them out first.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I agree. You mentioned Rodon. That was one of my concerns with the velo drop. And now, like you said, as long as he's locating his pitches, I think he will be fine. But that's one thing I had to – just the overall health of our pitching staff. You know, a few guys have been banged up toward the end of the season. So that was one concern I had. And like you said, Scott, I really don't take much stock in what happened in Houston earlier in the year. I actually looked at the dates and looked at the roster. Like you said, you had Danny Mendick playing, you had Zach Collins, Jake Lamb, Brian Goodwin. So it was nowhere near the roster that we have today and the guys that are going to be out there for this series. So I'm confident that they can go get one or two if necessary in Houston. And so, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited, like I said, Lewis Robert, him making his playoff debut. I really think he's going to come out with a bang with that short porch and right, even though, like I said, one thing I've loved is that he hasn't been pulling everything. He's been hitting the ball to all fields, really just taking the way he's getting it and showing that he is a true, 5-2 talent. And so I'm excited about his playoff debut. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be really great to see.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier today about, the Astros. I've sort of been suppressing the fact that that lineup does scare the shit out of me, just to be honest. But then I sort of remembered something, and I'm so used as a White Sox fan to just be rooting for a shitty team that I forgot that the White Sox are not a shitty team. And I forgot that lineup, it's easy to look at it the one way of looking at the Astros and the fact that, like Scott, like you said, they've been there here for the last 5 years. It is a scary lineup. They are, they play really well, all that kind of stuff. They've been there before. It's easy to look at it that way, but I'm sure that there's Astros fans that look at that White Sox lineup and there's not a more terrifying lineup in baseball than the White Sox, especially at full health, like they're at right now. They even have Adam Engel back. I mean, it's just like, what more could you want?
I think the Dodgers get the shit out of me just a little bit more.
That's true. I'd put them 1A, 1B, something like that. You're right. But other than that, I mean, all I'm saying is it's tough to kind of break out of that habit of realizing that the White Sox are in fact a really damn good team. And they are. So I think that it's going to be a fun series. I think the cool thing about it is that I don't see it going one way or the other really anything. I think it's just going to be a good series. I don't think that one team's going to run away with it. So
definitely.
Yeah. Fuck the Astros. cheating assholes. I mean, I like the Bulls Piston comp to it. I feel like this is going to be the biggest hurdle on the way to the ultimate prize. I don't sweat a team as much as I do the Astros. One thing good about the Astros is it's a heavy right-handed starting rotation, and they have three really good lefties in the pen though. So this kind of plays into my guy Dylan Sheets being the DH all the time. So that makes me happy. You know, him and Vaughn are going to be that two-headed monster. Good lineup. Easy guys to root against. Easy guys to get, to get mad at. And isn't that some part of the best part of the playoffs? Is like you develop like these deep hatreds for players, and you're like, you know what? He's actually a pretty good guy, but you know what? Fuck him. Like, and so there's a lot of guys like that, like Altuve and all those guys, little midget. But it's going to be a good one. This is going to be some damn good baseball. They have the experience. White Sox have more of the youth. And I would say, I know the Astros are playing with this huge chip on their shoulder. Like, we'll show you we can do it without garbage cans and all this stuff like that. But I feel the White Sox are a little bit more hungry. You got kids that have never done it before. There's been a crazy amount of adversity this season that we've touched on throughout the show already with the injuries and guys playing out of position and stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but I always mention this. My co-hosts on Pinwheels and Ivy always make fun of me for this, but like, tell me this doesn't line up to be a kick-ass World Series DVD. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just like all the crazy shit that's happened this season. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just, it's like the visualization of it or whatever. And but it's a scary team, man. Everyone has an absolute, it's okay to be like, I'm a little nervous about this shit, because Astros don't suck. Just put it that way.
They don't know.
No. So, but one thing that I do want to bring back though, Scott, because you said it, and I think Sam said it too, and I want to scream it. Like, there's that gif of Rihanna with the megaphone into the microphone. Like, I can't do this enough, but like, it's hard to say, well, look at what the Astros did to the White Sox earlier this season. Name six guys on that White Sox starting lineup. Because, you know what I mean? Like, exactly. They're either working at Enterprise or they're putting weird cryptic Instagram posts up right now, Yermin. But it wasn't this team. This is a whole different team. So when people use it, especially the damn Yankee fans, oh, we kicked your ass. Bro, we didn't have Aloy. Just stop. And top to bottom, this lineup is not to be fucked with. And it's, I don't know. I'm excited. This week can't go by fast enough.
I mean, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm like, part of me is like, I'm excited as shit. The other part of me is like, I know I'm going to be like, yesterday, I think it hit me. Like, mm-hmm. when the Houston Astros clinched, I was like, oh shit, okay, it's going to be real now. Like, we got like 7 days, but it's like, it's been so long. Like, I don't even know how to 100% feel. Because 2008, like we said earlier, I knew the Rays was going to kick our ass. So I think I only probably watched two games of that series. Mainly because I had to work, but it's also, I knew we were going to lose. But with this is the first time since 05, I'm like, oh shit, we got a chance to fucking win it. So with me, with my concerns and my, you know, what I'm optimistic about, my number one concern is honestly the situational hitting. That's my number one concern. This team has a habit of leaving too many motherfuckers on base, and they cannot do that shit against the Houston Astros. Because one thing I've seen, you know, of course, we all watch the MLB playoffs. I watch the playoffs every year. The Astros don't fucking die. They like roaches. They don't fucking die. I've seen teams have 5-run leads on them, and they just fucking pull their hand out the ground like the fucking Undertaker. We saw it in the series against the Nationals. It's just something where we have, and when there's opportunities to put them away, you gotta fucking put them away. Now, yes. With that being said, this rotation doesn't scare me like the ones of old. There's no Verlander here, which I think is a massive factor that's really gonna hurt them in this season. Lance McCullers is really, really fucking good. I think the rest of those guys can be had. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really worried about too much. I know that one of them is like a rookie, and I'm not really worried about the rest. You know, but if we can get to McCullers, I think that'd be good. But my real concern would have to be the runners in scoring position. We got to knock those in. And can Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrell keep the fucking ball in the park? That is probably my number two worries there. I'm not really too much worried about Rodon either. I do think, You know, Tony said there in the media that, you know, they're still trying to figure out what his place is going to be in this rotation. I think he's probably going to be a game four starter. You know, I think even though Lynn has been kind of shaky the last couple starts, I still think you go him game one. I still think you go at Lance game one. He can eat up a lot of innings. He's a big dog. I love Lance's energy. If there's ever been a player that was made for the White Sox, it is Lance fucking Lynn. So I want him on that mound. And let's just say you lose game one. Let's just say you do lose game one. There's nobody I want on that mound more with my season in a you need to win situation than Lucas Giolito. What we've seen from Gio in the second half of the season has been what we've expected for Gio, and that's why I want him there. And I have been everybody follows me know I have been on Dylan Cease's ass since the moment he has been here. I have been on his ass. I got a friend, my homie Lotto. He loves Dylan Cease, and I have been on him all season. But he is shutting me the fuck up this second half of the season. He don't even look like the same pitcher. Even when he gets into situations, he gets out of it. So I am perfectly fine with him starting game three at home. You know, hopefully we win both and it's a clincher situation. I would love that. I feel like he's better in front of that home crowd. And I'm cool with Rodon starting a game four. And even if he can only go four innings, you got Kopech coming. And Ronaldo Lopez, which has been another great story from this season. And I think the best thing about Ronaldo, it's not like he went to the minors and got his shit together. He was getting his ass kicked in Charlotte. You know what I'm saying? So, that's just been something that's been great to me. Janice, I know you got to get out of here. Just quickly, can you just give us how you think the season's going to end? Quick prediction. Do the White Sox win the World Series?
I hope so. I don't know. Like, if the Mariners just happen to just squeak out the wild card and defeat whomever they're going to play, either whether it's the Yankees or friggin' like, who else? The AL wild card's a mess right now. Mm. But anyway, I hope we're in it for both a long time and a good time. I'm just so excited to go to the game tonight, honestly. So, if like my enthusiasm and inability to speak words right now are telling you, it's just that I am just over the moon right now. I got to bounce. But thanks for having
me. No more, no doubt. Thank you for joining us. We're gonna wrap this up. I just want to go around, talk about how this season's gonna end. I'm gonna go first. When I did my season preview on slick.com, shout out to everybody Slick, Baron Davis, you know, TPG, everybody over there. I said it was going to be Dodgers, White Sox. I'm sticking with that. I think the Dodgers, as somebody who lives in LA, the only team I've watched as much as the White Sox is the Dodgers. That's a fucking scary ass team. They got the three-headed monster and Scherzer, Buehler, and I like to call him Clayton Crenshaw. Crenshaw, that's the scary thing. I am not scared of that bullpen. Kenley Jansen gets away with murder on a weekly basis, so I do think they can be had. I'm gonna say the White Sox gonna win. I'm gonna say we win for multiple reasons. I feel like it's just our time. I feel like everything is coming together at the right time. I think we're really going to see the team we expected to see all fucking season. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be tough. I think there's going to be some moments that's going to scare the shit out of us. There's going to be a lot of stuff to put on that Blu-ray and the DVD, like you were saying, Zoe. It's going to be a fire Blu-ray to watch in a couple months. But I think the White Sox are going to get it done. I think they're going to get it done, and you know, we're going to have a nice parade downtown.
I agree, bro. I do think the White Sox make it to the World Series, and I think they win the World Series. And I think the reason why is they're going to peak at the right time. I know they were up and down during September, but the main thing was getting healthy. And the fact that we're going to go into this playoffs with our complete roster, I think I saw a stat where our top six players, they only played together, I think it was maybe three or four times this year, but they averaged like 11 runs a game. So I think having everybody healthy, everybody in that lineup, you're going to see just how dominant they can be. And I also believe, like I said, I think Luis Robert, he has his Juan Soto moment where he really just explodes on a national stage and leads this team. And I do believe that we get to the World Series. As far as who we play, that the NL bracket is nuts, just like the AL bracket, So I really think we're going to beat – I still think the Giants are going to make it. I know. They've surprised a lot of people this year.
In San Francisco?
Yeah, bro. I think they still have that weird magic that they do, that every other year thing. And so, like, I think they're going to get there, but I think the White Sox will defeat the Giants in the World Series.
Yeah, I'm real quick, Scott, you reminded me of something, but when you're talking about Dylan Cease, and your sort of doubts of him and him proving you wrong. I finished a glass of whiskey, so I wasn't going to get petty on the podcast, but now I am going to. But I have a quick note to like some people on White Sox Twitter. I'm not going to name names, but I think it's funny that there's a section of Sox Twitter that will kind of like go after people who was like, you were wrong about this person. Like, oh, well, look at you people now who thought you didn't believe in this player, didn't believe in this. And it's just like, you're not doing what you think you're doing. Like, right. I'm happy to be wrong. this is like, yeah. And I think that I don't get the people that kind of take joy in looking back and finding stuff. And I, you know, if you people follow me on Twitter, like I'm the first one to say like, I was dead wrong on this thing. But the funny thing is like, if you're dead wrong about a player on the team that you root for, that you thinking that they weren't going to be good and they end up being good, it's just like, yeah, I'll take it. Like, I'm really happy about that. So
I wish Matt Nagy was fucking Bill Walsh. He's not. I would love more than anything to see him draw a regular fucking play. You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Like, let me be wrong. So that's that. But anyway, as far as the season's going to wrap up, I mean, I normally would be pessimistic about things. I think that this team is even better than I probably thought that they've been throughout the year. Like I said, breaking away from that kind of like loser mentality that I've had as a Sox fan over the years. So why not? I'll say I think they're going to win the World Series. I think that I'm really happy that Dallas Keuchel isn't going to be touching a ball over the next three games, because I heard Steve Stone on The Score the other day talking about it. And, you know, he basically said, you know, I don't agree with throwing the ball at anybody. I don't think that's the right way to go about anything. However, I liked what Stone said when he said that, you know, Keuchel, he kind of went after him. And in Steve Stone's way. And he said, you know, if you're going to be the guy, the tough guy, if you're going to be the one that's the enforcer, most of the real guys who are like that don't talk about it. They just do it. Right. And, you know, Dallas Keuchel in his White Sox tenure has been a lot of talk. We'll have that conversation another day. He's kind of, I don't even know if he'll be on the postseason roster. That's a conversation.
But I feel like, yeah. Like Lance Lynn has been more of our John Lester signing more than
definitely
100%. And hopefully there won't be any nonsense in this series coming up against the Tigers, because I don't know if there's any kind of, if anything happens, if any of that can be impact the postseason. I think not.
Probably not.
But either way, you know, the Sox dominated the Tigers this season. They dominated the whole division. Just go out, do what you're gonna do.
Keep it clean.
And get there. So yeah, why not?
Sox, we're going to October, they going to Cancun. Let's
exactly.
So my whole prediction is based on if they can get past Houston. I feel like this is the series. After Houston, I don't really sweat anybody. I don't really sweat any of these National League teams. Personally, I think the Brewers are going to make it out of the National League. Janice, I did that for you. That's her squad. But no, I think the Brewers are going to surprise a lot of people. I think the California teams are going to beat the shit out of each other, so much so where they're going to be running on fumes by the time they get into the postseason. Sorry, that's my boy in the background. He ain't too happy about getting his diaper changed. It's hard for me to sit here and just, I love you guys' confidence, and I want them to win the World Series no matter what, but if they can get out of Houston, yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't win the World Series. But I'm not so confident that it's going to be, oh, we're going to go through Houston. You know what I mean? Like, and part of that is what a rebuild, like the first couple of years when you come out of the rebuild, and like you said earlier, this is the first season of the proverbial window opening, you're going to get knocked down. And, you know, you got to respond like the Bulls in the late 80s when the Pistons just beat the shit out of them. And then they finally had that moment. And it was so gratifying to get past the Pistons. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I can't sit here and just say, like, yeah, they got this. Like, I'm very nervous that Houston's going to quickly remind them who's been the big dog for so long. And I'm going to get on Matt in a minute, Dante, too. So I see you back there. But yeah, that's where my headspace is right now for these playoffs. It's get through Houston. Once they get through Houston, you know,
you'll feel like a little weight is off. Yeah,
I feel a big weight off me because no one else really scares me besides Houston.
I just like, want to say, yeah. Dan, not to cut you off. So I am showing way more confidence than I really feel inside. Okay. Inside.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
Right. No.
Absolutely.
First, you know, the first wrong moment that happens in game one, I'm going to lose my shit on the timeline. So that's just how I am. So I'm showing way more. Holler at me Wednesday night.
Yeah.
For sure. Hit me up Wednesday night. See how I'm fucking feeling. For right, sure. So I'm with you with that. Sometimes you do got to get knocked the fuck out before you win. You know, we even saw it with the Cubs. They went out there, finally knocked out their rivals and the Cardinals, and then the Mets said, ha-ha, and got rid of them very, very fucking quickly. We can even look in the NBA. We were ready to get Giannis the fuck out of here until this postseason. He survived Kevin Durant's foot being an inch bigger than it needed to be. He was able to go out there and win that championship. So you're right. So that could happen, but that's the great thing about the Major League playoffs. Who fucking knows? You have no fucking idea what's gonna happen, and I'm just glad the White Sox are in it instead of, you know, watching from the sidelines. Man, I'm gonna
100%.
I'm gonna do the Ted Lasso believe. That's gonna be my statement for October. I'd like to thank y'all for joining me, man. We had a nice talk today. Me and Dante will be hosting post game spaces after each game. You can get our immediate reaction to each of these games. Hopefully it's a long October. Hopefully when I come in town at the end of the month, it just won't be for watching the Niners come kick the Bears shit in. Like, hopefully it's for me watching them win a World Series. That's what I'm hoping for. Sam, Zoe, let them know where they can find you, anything you got going on. Let the people know what you've been doing.
After you, Sam.
Yeah. Janice and I co-host the Northside Sox podcast. We've got a really cool episode we're recording tomorrow. We've got a couple of cool ones here coming up. So you can follow me the podcast at Northside Sox Pod. Definitely follow Janice as well. She's phenomenal. So we should have another podcast coming out probably in the next couple of days. We've actually got on a Dr. Dan Wan, who is the leading psychologist who focuses on sports fandom. I basically want to talk to him about how he can help me.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, I want one of the things I'm going to ask him tomorrow is I want to find out if he can help me like no longer be a sports fan because it's giving me so much more pain.
Obviously, who this sports fan is stupid. It is
it's so dumb.
Don't do it.
I don't think I'm going to be able to break off of it, but I'll say, hey, doctor, you got any tips anyway? So yeah, Northside Sox Pod, check it out.
And then I'm live every Wednesday night, Pinwheels and Ivy podcast. You know, we're so lucky to have all these great White Sox podcasts. You know, whatever your speed is, whatever your flavor, if you just hate sports radio and you'd rather listen to team specific shows from real people, you know, we're very lucky in the White Sox land to have all these great podcasts. And when, you know, I've been doing this for about 10 years now, and when we were trying to put together the White Sox podcast, I was trying to think of what would separate us. And I said, no one does a Cubs and White Sox podcast. And so that's what Pinwheels and Ivy is. It's me and my two co-hosts, Fids and Aldo. Fids is a high school baseball coach in Vegas. He was actually Chris Bryant's high school baseball coach. You know, he's worked with Bryce Harper, and there's so many major leaguers from Vegas. It's wild. And then Aldo's been my dog for about 10 years now. He writes the Cubs, but it's not two fan bases screaming at each other. We have really good conversations, and to be honest with you, we go with what team's hot. So in an hour show, we probably talk about the White Sox for 50 minutes, you know what I mean? But it's live every Wednesday night. Find us on YouTube. Twitter stream now is a thing, so we're on that. And then I think I'm going to be joining Josh from Sox Machine and those 108 guys doing pregame Twitter spaces all throughout the playoffs. And you could always follow me at Southside Zoe if you want to see a bunch of stupid ass GIFs and videos I make when I'm bored. But no, thank you very much, Scott, Dante, for having me on. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Dante, you got any new articles, anything for the people? Of course, we're going to be starting a new season of Ball Don't Lie coming up.
Oh yeah, definitely excited about that. But no, yeah, I'm on MLBBro.com. I write every Saturday for Sunday, so you know it was fun last week because I wrote a quick wild card update, and then by Tuesday, everything I said didn't fucking matter. So that's always fun. That's why, you know, pods and videos are a lot better than writing these days because things change so quick. But yeah, still doing that every week. And like you said, just getting ready for another great season of Ball Don't Lie.
Yeah. Ball Don't Lie. We're going to break down the NBA season. I got some Laker thoughts as usual. But yeah, man, we're going to have a 40-40 club, me and Pierce. You know, we're going to be doing breaking down the full MLB thing. Should be out by the time you hear this. And we'll get his thoughts. Of course, he'll have his negative White Sox thought because he's a Cubs fan and he be hating on us. But anyway, yeah, man, you can check out Summer Sessions. By the way, I got an announcement. I said this on Twitter for anybody who don't. Summer Sessions is a Patreon exclusive show now because we say a lot of wild shit on there, and I don't want any of my shit to be fucked up. So y'all gotta pay for it. Me, my brother Flows, the homie Damien, Pav. Last night's episode was very wild. We went from talking about Super Bowl halftime shows to why sex work is appreciated in 2021. So check out that episode. That's available right now. Of course, I'm not going to hold you. Every Thursday, H&B Media TV. Check that out. 79th and Hallis. Check out the Patreon today because my brother was in Hallis Hall, and we've got some shit to say about that. I've got some major news I can't wait to see on the show. Oh, it's spicy. So check that out. As usual, follow 79th A&D Hallis. Y'all can follow me at Barbchair Scott. And, yeah, man, let's hope this is a long October, man. Thank you for y'all, you guys joining me. And, yeah, man, let's hear to the White Sox win the World Series, man. We are out.